It is, of course, a worrying time for parents concerned their kids won't get vaccinated before school's due to return at the end of the month. But it's worth hearing what the experts think. In a moment, we'll hear from the Children's Commissioner, Anne Hollands. But first, here's the reaction from Philip Britton, a paediatric infectious diseases physician who treats children with COVID. He's also an associate professor at Sydney University. I asked his view of the Queensland Premier's announcement that school may be delayed.
Well, I must say that I'm disappointed that this is what's being proposed. We know now with very high levels of confidence that COVID affects children, particularly primary school aged children, at a lower rate than almost any other age group. And as a result, the severity of disease of COVID in school aged children is very much like other respiratory viruses that we've been dealing with for a long, long time, like influenza. And we don't close schools because of the direct effects of influenza on children, even though some children will be severely affected by influenza, they'll also be severely affected by coronavirus. It doesn't justify closing the schools for all children.
Some experts point out that even though COVID is less severe in children, the Omicron strain is so infectious that we're seeing record numbers of children around the world put in hospital. Is that cause for pause in your mind?
Look, I think it is true that we're always making balancing decisions in the context of a pandemic, but I think it's very clear now that the balance of benefit to children is to have them in the learning environment. The harms of them not being there have accumulated now for 2 years, and we must not continue to impose those harms on children. Yes, there will be many children infected. Yes, some of those children will end up in hospital, but we've recently looked at Delta hospitalisations in Sydney in 2021 and shown that even amongst hospitalised children, the majority have relatively mild conditions, short stays in hospital, they're being admitted really for supportive care. You know, quite a startling statistic that people won't be aware of is that 90% of the children who were hospitalised in Sydney did not require oxygen. So COVID infection in children does not behave or become as severe as COVID infection in adults on average. And we have to take that into account when we're balancing benefits and harms. And I'm convinced at this point in time in the pandemic that the benefits to children of being in the learning environment far outweigh the risks of severe disease with COVID.
Is there any data yet on how Omicron impacts children?
Look, yes, there is emerging data from overseas. All of the evidence is that Omicron is not more severe than Delta. It would be hard to say definitively that it's more mild in children, but it's not more severe. And so using our Delta experience to guide us is reasonable at this point in time. I can tell you anecdotally, as somebody who looks after children with COVID, we're not seeing children coming in more unwell on average than what we saw 3 or 4 months ago during the Delta peak in Sydney.
That's Philip Britton, an infectious diseases physician and associate professor at Sydney University. So what about the Children's Commissioner, Anne Hollands, from the Australian Human Rights Commission? She's spent her career working in health, education, social services, with extensive frontline experience in child protection, out-of-home care, child and family therapy, domestic violence and mental health. We spoke earlier.
Well, when I heard today that Queensland was going to potentially delay school reopening, my heart just sank. Look, you know, Queensland hasn't, the children there haven't suffered quite so much as some of the other states. But we do know that now, after 2 years, how important school is, not just as a place of academic learning that can be replaced by Zoom. It's a social learning environment where the well-being and mental health of children are really supported. And so whilst I understand that they're weighing up the risks there in terms of the burden on the and on the health system, I would like attention to be paid to the needs of children as well, and for those closures to be as short as possible.
Just how much of a problem has it been for children these past few years?
Well, frankly, some kids have been fine, you know, because they have all the support that they need at home. But there are many, many children, and I don't have the full data on this yet, but many children have missed out. And now we're seeing those results come through in terms of very serious deterioration in the mental health of even very young children. And I'm talking serious issues like suicide attempts, self-harm, eating disorders, you know, these sorts of things, and even much younger children. So it's not without a cost that we close our schools. So we need to understand, as we're weighing up the risks, that there is harm to children from school closures.
As you say, it is about weighing up the risks. And really, for all parents, their number one priority is keeping their children safe. In your view, where is the safest place for children?
Which we need to understand that children's needs are unique, and they're different to that of adults. And so children, of course, number one, need supportive family environment and parents that are able to care for them in the way that they need to be cared for. Of course, pressures that adults face, you know, do affect children as well. And so that's why the whole family unit needs to be supported. But children also need that school environment that provides the foundations of social and emotional skills and well-being, that is really the platform, not just for now, but for the future. And we don't know ultimately what the shadow of this pandemic will be on our kids. We can only guess about that. So I think after 2 years of really putting aside the needs of children for the sake of, for adults, frankly, we need to now start to prioritise those needs of children, the broader range of needs, and to make children a national priority in 2022.
What about the fact we're talking about closing schools in Queensland at a time that pubs and nightclubs are open without any capacity limits, music festivals and concerts can go on without masks?
Well, David, we've seen this for 2 years, really. We've seen repeatedly that schools have been closed when venues and like pubs and sporting events and mass gatherings like the cricket and the tennis have been allowed to go on. You know, it defies logic, really, that we would think so little of our children. I think we're failing our children. We need to look at this information about the mental health consequences. We need to understand that unless we plan properly for the needs of children, they're going to be overlooked. And that's why I've been calling for a COVID recovery plan for children specifically, so that there's someone at that table who understands the full range of children's needs and can represent their needs when these important decisions are being made.
Even though we know that COVID is less severe in children, it's certainly not without risk. And we're seeing a larger number of children ending up in hospital. In fact, record numbers of children in hospital overseas because Omicron is just so infectious. With that in mind, do you think that we need to accept some risk of COVID in order to give them what they need from school?
We need to pay attention to the health experts in terms of what are the health needs of children, first and foremost. But that's not what we've really been hearing about, David. We don't really hear about children's needs in that way when we, listen to these press conferences. So we don't actually know how the health risks are being weighed up. I'm not a health expert, so I can only rely on those health experts who do understand the needs of children. But I think that the jumping to closing schools as kind of an easy solution to keep transmission low amongst the adult population is something that we've done for too long. And I think now we need to really look very seriously at the consequences of those school closures, you know, aligned with, of course, we don't want kids to get COVID. Of course, we want to get them vaccinated and protected. That's that. These should all be a priority now.
So are you disappointed that we may not see all the kids that want to get vaccinated get their jab before the resumption of school?
I think there was a hope that we would at least get one vaccination for most kids before school resumed, and we don't know yet whether that will be possible. The health experts are saying that even one vaccination provides good protection for kids. So let's try to achieve that now. Let's balance the needs of children. You know, let's not let amongst the other needs, let's not just put them at the back of the queue again. Right, here's our chance now to try and really prioritise all the needs of children in a proper way going forward.
Anne Hollands, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the Children's Commissioner, Anne Hollands.